Just watch your step.
Scott Atkinson and Diana Antunes are tramping around a flooded field in an abandoned farm just north of Everett. They pick their way through blackberry brambles and wade through water halfway up to their knees. Diana Antunes stops short when she spots something in the distance.
What do you got?
Peregrine falcon? It's eating on top of the tree, right straight.
Oh, nicely done.
Yay.
Here's how the Christmas bird count works. Volunteers walk a pre-established route, count up the birds they see and hear, and submit their tallies to Audubon. Scott Atkinson's a Christmas bird count veteran. He says he's participated every year since he was 14.
It was the 1974 Grays Harbor Christmas bird count. Oh, wait, meadowlarks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Good.
So you were about to tell me about your first Christmas bird count.
There was some birders there in Hoquiam, and so we stayed overnight, just kind of, you know, sleeping bags. I was excited about the fact that everything that I saw that day counted, you know, counted.
Counted for the survey, that is, and therefore counted for all the scientists who used data from the survey.
The Christmas bird count is actually one of the most powerful data sets that we have that demonstrate that birds' ranges are changing.
Meet Crosby's a biologist at the University of Washington. She says the Christmas bird count has helped scientists figure out how birds are responding to climate change.
You can see these really dramatic shifts in their winter ranges, on average moving northward, and that's what we expect. We know that on average, globally, species ranges have moved poleward, they've moved upward in elevation.
Crosby says she's seen these changes not just in the data, but in her own observations as well. Biking into campus one day,
I heard something that should not have been there. I heard this like, rah, rah, rah. And I mean, I know that call, but I had never heard it here. And I was like, no way. And I looked up and it was a scrub jay. And these are typically something you would hear down in California. I'd never seen one in Seattle before.
Crosby says she's not the only one. Birders all over the Pacific Northwest are starting to see scrub jays here in wintertime. Scrub jays will probably do okay as the climate continues to warm. They'll just keep moving north. But, Crosby says, alpine birds aren't likely to be as fortunate.
Our alpine habitats and the species that live there are going to be in trouble, and that's true for birds too. So, for example, the gray-crowned rosy finch, that is, you know, one of our very highest elevation breeding species. They are adapted to very cold environments, and it's very likely that that is going to disappear.
Back in Everett, Scott Atkinson's making bird sounds and waiting till he hears a response from the bushes. He says he's seen a lot of changes over the past 40 years, and for him, that's part of the fun.
Birds have wings, they move around, they get blown around, they respond to climatic factors. You just never know what you're going to encounter.
When I go with Scott and we see a new bird, I get so excited that he has to tell me, shh, you're going to scare it away. And I'm like, oh, I'm just so excited, I've never seen it.
Diana Antunes says she took up birding about 4 years ago.
It's kind of like a spiritual thing, you know? Some people like to do yoga. I like to watch birds.
It's not too late to join this year's Christmas bird counts in the Pacific Northwest. The Seattle, Portland, and Tri-Cities counts are on New Year's Eve, and the Eugene count is on New Year's Day. In Seattle, I'm Alicia O'Neill.